back to a new season of the Stanford Book Salon. If you're joining us for the first time, I want to welcome you and also thank you for listening in. My name is Stephanie Rubel, and I'm the online moderator for the Stanford Book Salon. We have a fantastic lineup of books this season, all with discussions hosted by Stanford faculty. Today, I'm sitting down with Professor Roger Romani to discuss Andy Weir's The Martian. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Roger Romani is a professor of physics and the Kavli Institute for Particle Astrophysics and Cosmology member. He is interested in the physics of the most extreme objects in the observable universe, concentrating on dead stars such as black holes and neutron stars. His current areas of focus are populations of gamma ray sources, supernovae and their products, and the origin and evolution of radio pulsars. Professor Romani complements his theoretical work with observations at space and ground-based telescope facilities. He is a recipient of the Rossi Prize and shares it with Alice Harding of the NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center for establishing a theoretical framework for understanding gamma ray pulsars. So, Roger, it seems like The Martian's right up your alley. What led you to choosing it?
Well, it's not exactly what I do professionally. I tend to be more interested in things that are way out there beyond the solar system. Like I said, black holes, neutron stars, the universe. But this is a fun book. And, you know, seeing as we're doing this interview at the end of the summer, another summer reading book seems entirely appropriate. When we had a list of books for the book club to select, I included some science fiction, since I do enjoy reading speculative but fact-based kind of science fiction. And they chose The Martian as a book that might be of interest to our alumni. I think it's a good choice. It's fast-paced, entertaining, witty in a kind of nerdy way, and has an interesting kind of connection in that there's going to be a major motion picture being made of it shortly.
I know we were talking the other day offline, and you were saying that Mark Watney's voice is very snarky, which I think leads to a very entertaining kind of book to be reading.
I agree. I think that's one of the most interesting aspects of the book is the tone. Very different from your standard, you know, space opera, big macho guy out there doing his stuff.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think is so interesting while I'm reading through it is that he's alone up there, and he doesn't seem to be experiencing any signs of being in solitary confinement.
Well, you can certainly sense some of the stress, but one of the great things about the persona that Andy Weir has put together is that this fellow is good at putting humor into play to deal with that stress and making it through difficult, lonely situations to getting to his final goal.
I guess that's what it means to be an astronaut also. What issues do you think our readers might be interested in discussing?
Well, there's an interesting range. As you talked about, one of the more interesting aspects is that a large fraction of this book is monologue, and yet it still remains fairly dynamic. There's the aspect that it's not always man conflicting with man, but this is a case of man conflicting with the circumstances or the universe, if you will. And I think that that's done fairly well in this book, and I think it's fun for the readers to kind of see how a narrative thread could be spun out with basically a good half the book as internal monologue. Another aspect is some of the scientific parts of it. I mean, Mars is something of great interest to many people, and with the recent successes of NASA space exploration, largely through robots at this point, it's really become a place rather than a dot in the sky. And books such as this that kind of set a future, in this case not a very distant future, but a future in that place, I think are fun for readers to look at and kind of think about what may come to be.
Definitely. And then can you talk to us about what your favorite part of the book is?
Well, you know, I think you hit on it already. I think I kind of like that snarky, nerdy but humorous tone. And maybe to kind of give the readers a little flavor of that, if you wouldn't mind, I could just read a few of the opening paragraphs to get which I think encapsulates something of the essence of this book in a short period. So why don't I go ahead and do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the book starts with Log Entry Sol 6. I will bolderize slightly for the for the audience, the radio audience who may not be so used to the strong language, but salty but appropriate language that's sometimes present in this book. I'm pretty much screwed. That's my considered opinion. Screwed. 6 days into what should be the greatest 2 months of my life, and it's turned into a nightmare. I don't even know who will read this. I guess someone will find it eventually, maybe 100 years from now. For the record, I didn't die on Sol 6. Certainly the rest of the crew thought I did, and I can't blame them. Maybe there'll be a day of national mourning for me, and my Wikipedia page will say, Mark Watney is the only human being to have died on Mars. And it'll be right, probably, because I'll surely die here. Just not on Sol 6 when everybody thinks I did. Let's see, where do I begin? The Ares program. Mankind reaching out to Mars to send people to another planet for the very first time and expand the horizons of humanity. Blah, blah, blah. The Ares 1 crew did their thing and came back home heroes. They got the parades and fame and love of the world. The Ares 2 crew did the same thing in a different location on Mars. They got a firm handshake and a hot cup of coffee when they got home. Ares 3. Well, that was my mission. Okay. Not mine, per se. Commander Lewis was in charge. I was just one of her crew. Actually, I was the very lowest ranked member of her crew. I would only be in command of the mission if I were the only remaining person. What do you know? I'm in command.
I love it. You know what's so funny about this book when I was reading it is I found myself laughing out loud so many times just because of his tone and his voice, and that's exactly what made me like enjoy it so much.
This is another reason why I encourage people, if you have the time, to have a go at this and read this before the movie comes out. You know, movies, as wonderful as they are, do set a certain view of a work. And once you've seen Hollywood's view, it's a little difficult to form your picture in your own mind. This is a book that I think that very much benefits from having you read it and set the tone and the picture in your own head. You can contrast that with what Hollywood does, but I encourage you to take a first shot at it yourself.
So speaking of the movie, are you going to be first in line to see it?
I won't be first in line. I'm not a midnight movie waiter, but, you know, given this exercise, I think I will go make the effort to take a look and see what they do.
Great. Thanks so much for sitting down and talking to us about The Martian.
Pleasure.